You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another spectacular episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Pablo.
And I'm just Rob. And this is episode number 6. What is this? 665. Thank you, guys.
Rob, a.k.a. Thug Nasty.
Thug Nasty. That only happens when the hat goes.
It only happens when he drives into the parking lot with his hat on backwards and he's driving the Suburban with gangster rims.
Yeah. Because
he does have one of those.
Paul is convinced that we have gangster rims on
my family car. You have black 20-inch rims on your freaking Suburban. And it's not like he got it done for any particular reason. It was just, you bought the car like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't buy them and not into that.
That's not your financial MO.
No, it definitely is not.
Couldn't. Yo, I'm going to get a Suburban. I'm going to spend like $5,000 on rims.
No, that's not us. That's not me.
No, it's not me either. I try to keep things factory on the car because they
I do too,
tend
actually,
to last longer.
I actually prefer that. But anyways, that didn't happen in this particular case.
It's okay, Thug Nasty.
Sweet.
Well, let's get into today's question. It's actually going to be a deep one. We're going to be getting all kinds of scientific. We're going to philosophize. We're going to talk about deep scientific things. We're gonna make America
great.
Don't
leave us. I think it'll be good.
No, I
say
think
scientific things, we might lose some people.
No, this is where the industry is going. This is where, and I'm glad I learned about this stuff 5 years ago. But this is where the money is, because if you want to do more than just fly and film, and you really want to make a career and support a family and build a retirement fund and pay for healthcare or not, I don't know, the healthcare thing's up to you. I think you're going to want to hear this question, which is brought to you by.
Brought to you by our friends at videoblocks.com/drone. Guys, if you've ever been on a project, I know Paul's been in this situation where he's done a project, been out filming, gets back. And even Paul, if I may say so, gets back and realizes, crap, I didn't get X shot. Or, man, I really needed this B-roll that I did not get.
Mother effer.
Or I have this particular, yeah, there's a lot of that actually. Or there's a particular sound I'm looking for. Well, you know what? Just head to videoblocks.com or audioblocks.com. And by the way, if you go to that videoblocks.com/drone, you're going to get both for $149. Check it out. It's a really good option for a lot of you guys out there putting these videos together.
You know, you said something that actually I've been doing a lot of audio sound bits recently because I realized just how much they're used in cable television. And so like I did this, I really wanted to showcase kind of the ocean vibe of wake surfing, and I needed some pelicans. Literally, like, I'm pretty sure I can pull up the video right now. Surf how you want. Give me the video. Surf how you want. And it literally, nope, that's not the right one. That's the Instagram edit. But it literally starts out with pelicans. Let's see if I got the pelicans in here.
Yeah, so you might be out shooting and the birds are not cooperating. They're sleeping.
Yeah, it's not the morning. You can't hear that. Whoa, whoa. Here we go.
So you wanted the sound? Is that what you wanted?
I wanted the sound, yeah. Okay. Here, play this thing. Play that. Before you fall asleep on us, we'll get back to the show. Play the question, Rob.
Okay.
Hey, guys. My name is Ryan, and I just got a 90% this morning on the 107 thanks to your program. I have a couple quick questions about some of the competition I have around my area and the state that I'm going to be building my business in. There's a lot of multispectral, hyperspectral, thermal mapping, light detection and ranging with, I guess, some lasers that they use. I'm not too familiar with this, and I'm still learning all about it. I was wondering if you guys have had any experience with this and how lucrative it may be. I realize there's probably a lot more equipment I'm going to have to buy as well as software. to get into this, but if you guys could give me, you know, just a brief explanation of some of it or what's worked for you guys, I'd really appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. This question is a little deeper.
I love those
and
deep questions.
It definitely can be lucrative. We know that. And you're definitely going to have to spend some money.
Definitely. In fact, I feel like one of the most lucrative jobs right now is mapping with LiDAR systems. But in order to get below the accuracy of what photogrammetry can do, you're definitely spending $100,000 on a drone. And if that's probably $80,000 on the sensor. But let's talk a little bit about these sensors. Let's talk about what they do, and let's talk about the practical jobs that you can get from these sensors. So LiDAR is light detection and ranging. That's literally what it stands for. And LiDAR is really used in mapping complex objects, complex arenas, complex areas. But it's also used in pipeline and gas line inspection. It's really, really powerful for seeing cracks in pipelines, especially oil pipelines. So if you're flying a vehicle like that, chances are you are charging a few $100s a minute to fly it. I'm not exaggerating. There's someone here in Albuquerque doing that right now. That's not me, but I could tell you who it is. But I'm not going to because I don't like the guy. Anyway, but it is very, very valuable. You may want to look at a fixed-wing drone to fly that. The Silent Falcon is a very good drone for that. Again, you're talking $100,000 for the drone, but when you can make hundreds of dollars a minute, you tend to make that cost up significantly and rather quickly. Let's talk about multispectral sensor. So even if you Google multispectral sensor or hyperspectral sensor, you really don't get the official, the official technical term, the definition of what it really is. So multispectral sensor is essentially looking at multiple bands of light. That's how I want you to remember it. Multispectral, multiple bands of light. But what it's doing is it's using filters to filter out every single band of light that is not specific to what you're looking for. So multispectral sensors are looking for the specific reflectivity and absorbance of light to give you specific information. Now, multispectral sensors are used significantly in agriculture to do disease prevention and control. It's also used to see how healthy plants are by looking for specific elements in those plants. And people also use multispectral sensing in mining. It's actually more like hyperspectral sensing, but when you're looking for multiple things on the surface, multispectral sensors can be very helpful. If you're using multispectral sensors, chances are you're working in agriculture. And if you are working in agriculture, I would recommend something like the Precision Hawk system. They've got an entire, it is an end-to-end solution. You can buy a multispectral sensor, but how is your client going to visualize the data? How are they going to interpret the data? And how are they going to take actions on the data? What Precision Hawk does is it provides you with a drone. It's a Lancaster drone and a multispectral sensor. They actually set the camera up to look for what you want to look for. But they also give you a back-end solution to process that data to create maps with the multispectral stuff, the multispectral images. And they index that data so that your clients can also view that data on the back end. Now, for Precision Hawk, again, you're looking in the $50,000 to $100,000 range. And a lot of people have said to me they're not firm believers in Precision Hawk. I kind of question those people who have said that because I think it's one of the best end-to-end solutions. But again, unless you're in agriculture or mining or discovery or oil discovery, probably not for you. Now, hyperspectral sensors, I call the hyperspectral sensor, and the way that you can remember it is looking for a needle in a haystack. It is the one thing that I think that we could find Forrest Fenn's treasure with here in New Mexico, Rob.
Hey.
I'm serious.
I believe, I know you're serious.
So, and I actually found out what that treasure chest is made out of, so as soon as we get our hands on one, I know we're going out to Pilar, and we're going to go fly some mapping missions.
Hmm.
So,
does he have rules, or does it...
I don't give a if he has rules.
I'm just curious. I'm not asking. If you care
why,
about rules.
How, what thing we were doing with our coach, and my whole how was challenge the status quo. There you go. Okay.
The question was not, do you care whether or not there are rules? Anyways, carry
okay,
on.
So hyperspectral sensor is a needle in a haystack. And I talk about this in my book, Living the Drone Life, which is on Amazon. If you pick one up, please leave me a review. I would love to see what you think about that. But a hyperspectral sensor is literally having the availability to find a needle in a haystack. Why? Because you are only looking for one specific band of light. You're looking for that band of light based off of one specific reflectivity and one specific set of absorbency. So every single chemical, every single, how do I say this? I'm not finding the right word here. Scientists are going to kill me right now. Every single particle, every single thing, like copper versus plastic versus polycarbonates versus, I'm trying to think, lead, they all have different rates of absorbency and reflectivity. So if you can set your hyperspectral camera to look for your wife's turquoise ring on a beach riddled with minerals, you will literally be able to see nothing in the camera but turquoise. So it is a very cool technology. It is how you find a needle in a haystack. It is also how a lot of oil agencies are looking for oil. They're looking for humates. They're looking for different things on the ground to tell them what's below, to see if it is a hydrocarbon-rich area to do drilling and oil, essentially, exploration.
It's really cool, all the different things. I'm even noticing here that LiDAR is being, it's a, one of the main technologies behind driverless cars.
Oh yeah, 100%. Velodyne is actually the main manufacturer of that. And we are trying to get a bird in the air that can fly a Velodyne unit. But the issue is that the lower end Velodyne unit only has an accuracy of 2 centimeters per pixel, which as a ground sampling distance is not very accurate.
Interesting.
So you really have to dig into this stuff super, super deep. And I'm hoping that we can do classes on it in the future because there is a lot of money in exploration. There is a lot of money in pipeline inspection. There is a lot of money in oil rig inspections. But they take very specific drones. And for example, if you're doing oil offshore oil rig inspections, you've got to have drones that are spark proof. You've got to have there are levels and levels of nuances that you would have to be prepared for. So if you want to take on those challenges, if that really excites you, I would love to hear from you. And I think it's a very cool, interesting field to get into. And
it is deep stuff, though.
It is deep stuff, but if you go into it, I mean, this is the type of stuff that DARPA is using to develop new platforms, new vehicles. It is the wave of the future. It all, you know, it's funny because someone once told me they love their Tesla because it's got autopilot on it, but I would never trust autopilot because it's based off of stereoscopic sensors, which is essentially two visual cameras. I would trust it if it was based off of LiDAR.
Interesting.
So not radar, LiDAR. So, and I know more about radar now because of our hush-hush contract that I can't talk about.
Well, there are various ways to go about this. And so there's kind of, it's cool. I mean, there's a competition ultimately going on, but obviously LiDAR seems to be taking the lead with self-driving cars. So
it is. You can even get an RP LiDAR sensor on a drone, which RP LiDAR is only, I think, $500 on Amazon. But you've got to learn how to program a little computer to actually process that data. Your drone cannot process that data on its own. If you do have an M600, there is the, I forget the name of the DJI unit. I think it might be called the DJI module, but it's essentially a secondary onboard computer that can process that data and store that data. So you can actually get the data on the point cloud from the LiDAR. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy
if you
stuff.
Actually think about what's in driverless cars, I do think that we're a few years out just because I don't believe that the processing power is there yet. Because essentially, LiDAR is creating a point cloud. The software is reading the point cloud. And in my, how do I say this, experience of using radar and LiDAR and point clouds, I don't think that many of these programs can even handle the speed at which that is necessary to do complex operating environments.
Which makes the vehicles too expensive for the market.
Yes.
Because you could make it happen, but now you've got a, whatever, I don't know, $200,000 car.
You remember that computer we priced out?
Yeah.
It would probably have to be 3 or 4 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like it's not going to work.
$40,000.
Not the market's not going to accept that, but
not yet.
It's coming.
It definitely is coming. And like all things in technology, we will grow, we will scale, we will have faster and faster things for cheaper and cheaper prices. So
interesting.
It's funny. What is that? Elon Musk has repeatedly pushed the idea that if humans can perceive and navigate the world using just eyes, ears, and a brain, then why can't a car? Elon, you're a cool dude, but
let me just put it this way. I'm not going to tell him he can't do it.
No,
right?
Me neither.
So,
but how do you put intuition in a vehicle?
Yeah,
because there are times. Like,
well, how do you put intuition in a 16-year-old? My son's about to start driving. I might take the computer over that.
And well, like, there are times, like this morning, where an old man is on his phone, and I hate old people, young people, middle-aged people. If you're on your phone and you're driving, you're threatening someone's life, and I am going to let you know about it on the road. So I'm not going to be aggressive, but I am going to literally pull up next to you and rail on my horn and let you know that I don't like the idea that you're threatening my life and the people around us. But intuition, for example, is when someone pulls out and they're on their phone and they don't really are able to accurately gauge the speed that you're going, and you have to aggressively speed up to actually avoid an accident. That's what I mean about intuition. Most people don't know that if you are driving over 35 miles an hour, you should actually speed up to avoid an accident, not slow down. You will learn this information if you attend the BMW driving school in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Boy, going all kinds of directions in this podcast.
Well, you always say how I'm super analytical when I drive, and it's true.
Oh my gosh, I defy you to find somebody else who is more of an analytical driver than.
And some people think I'm aggressive, and literally last night I was on the phone with an APD officer, and I'm like, I just watched three people go through, and this is my friend, I wasn't ratting these people out, but I was like, I just watched three people run a red light because they were on their phone. And I said, I wish police officers would seriously ticket every single person who goes on their phone and let speeders go. Because if you're speeding and you're not aggressively speeding, I mean, like you're speeding, you're like 15 over the speed limit and you're not aggressively changing lanes, you're just in a hurry. You tend to be more perceptive. You tend to be more observant. And when you're on your phone, you're less observant.
Oh, significantly.
Honestly, I want to be a cop for a week to just create a YouTube series with how I pull people over for being on their phones and make fun of people. Mm. And be like, are you making fun of me, meow? Do I look like a kitty jumping from tree to tree all nimbly bimbly?
I'm feeling you'd get in trouble if they allowed that.
I'm sure I would, but I'd sure love to.
Anyways, Ryan, you're getting more than you bargained for with this question, but hopefully it's been helpful. It's always an education to me, actually, to hear Paul talk about this stuff.
I love hyperspectral sensors, and I wish I could get my hands on one to do a class on it, because I think that, you know, this goes back to like what I learned in school. The human eye can really only see about 1% of all light. And with these other sensors, we can see about 30% of all light. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And what's really cool is the technology that's coming out of that capability.
True. So think about this. If we can only see 1% of all light, then how do you know that there's not an alien in this room right now? Whoa.
I don't smell anything.
You smell kind of weird.
I don't hear anything.
And that's the copy machine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. If you found this episode useful or valuable, please leave us a review or share the show. Do us a favor, please. Especially if you're not a member. If you are a member, thank you so much for the support. We greatly appreciate it. And if you're not a member and you want to support the show, becoming a member is a great way to do it, because you get a lot deeper information and a lot more of it. And it's on demand whenever you want it. So check it out, thedroneu.com. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.